Tiny Tales presents Mortar.
The river had been wide and shallow when Kay's father began building the dam. She could still see him in the cleft between the two cliffs, back bent, shirt stained with a dark triangle of sweat, and his face hidden in the shadow of his work. Water trickled over the sharp rocks, over his worn boots. Those memories felt like stories she'd been told. She could see her own face like a photograph. Watch herself. Watch him. She'd been a young girl then, sitting on a sun-warmed boulder with twin braids running down her back. She never asked him why he built the dam, and he'd never told her. When the dammed river grew a little deeper, a little darker, he added another layer of bricks. Kay was old enough to help by then, passing bricks into his rough hands or mixing buckets of cement. She'd always liked that, working together in silence, but somehow like one being, united in thought and purpose. But the water never stopped climbing, never stopped pushing. And when her father's hands twisted with arthritis, his legs weakening so he couldn't climb the scaffolding, the dam became Kay's inheritance, a feud handed from father to daughter. It was a lifetime of work, Kay's lifetime. Now there was a stiffness in her back when she woke in the morning, a steady, tired ache in her knees. Standing on the utmost platform, Kay ran a hand over the newest layer of bricks, measuring their evenness with her palm. The dam stood nearly 20 feet tall now. On the other side of the wall, four bricks deep, dark water stirred uneasily in its stone cage. Satisfied, Kay began the long climb down the tangle of scaffolding, down ladders held together with bent nails and fraying rope, across swaying platforms that groaned under her feet, down creaking stairs, down, past the layers of brick that turned faded and dusty as she neared the bottom. Her cabin stood in the dam's shadow at the foot of the cliffs. It was built on the edge of what had once been a lake. But Kay didn't remember the lake, and all that was left was a dry, empty pit. Wind stirred the dust to whirlwinds. A dock stood like a wooden fossil unearthed in the desert. Drying rain cracked the dirt in webbed fractals. Kay heaved at the peeling handle of the water pump behind the cabin, swinging it until muddy water spat out, dribbled, then ran clear. She filled a bucket and scrubbed hardening cement from her trowel, picked it from the hair on the back of her hands until her skin reddened and ached. Then she filled the paint-chipped kettle to heat on the wood stove for tea. She sat on the front porch, rolling the warmth of the cup between her hands, and looked across the dry basin, past the smoking kiln where she fired bricks, past the pit where she dug clay, far away to the small fringe of green that used to be the other side of the lake. Building the dam was a simple but ceaseless purpose, a creed that must be kept. Each brick laid was a sacred rite. Behind the cabin, the forest was an open red cathedral carpeted with rust-colored needles, incensed by the sharp musk of pine trees. A foot-worn path wound through those trees to the nearby town. Buildings, all red brick, clumped around a length of pale road striped with tar patching. There was a squat gas station with three pumps, but only one that worked. Faded wood-sided houses. An old school turned into a clinic. A dingy convenience store where Kay restocked her shelves. And that was all. Kay hated the town. When she stepped out of the forest and the strangers who lived there looked at her, it turned her into another photograph. An aging woman with bent shoulders, dirty with brick dust, a graying braid of red hair over her shoulder. Sun glinted on the harsh pavement, on the glass windows, on the metal signs, stabbing like the sun glancing off the churning water. When her father died, the townspeople had come through the forest to take him away and bury him in the fenced cemetery behind the abandoned drugstore. He should have been buried in the forest or bricked up in the dam. Instead, he'd been given one flat stone, empty except for his name. When she had to go to town, she hurried into the narrow convenience store with its flickering lights and peeling metal shelves, snatching what she needed. She kept her mouth pinched shut, blinking at the sharp ping as the grocer scanned her supplies. But once, as she'd been standing there, she saw a boy sitting in the corner and tossing a broom from hand to hand. They were strong hands. Young hands. Hands that could lay 1,000 bricks. "That your boy?" she asked the grocer, her voice rusty with disuse. He lifted his head and licked his chapped lips, looking at her too long, too curiously. Then he nodded, the crown of his balding head flashing in the sunlight coming through the dusty windows.
"Got work for him,"
Kay said, and counted out the rolled bills her father had kept in an old bean can, their corners brittle as dried leaves. When she left town again, the boy followed, leaving brown streaks in the needles where he dragged his feet. He was clumsy, spilling cement over the lip of the bucket when he mixed it, leaving dents in the soft sides of the bricks to be fired. But he would learn. Kay looked up at the slash of sky between the cliffs. One day, long after she was gone, the dam would reach it.
"Why are we doing this?" the boy asked, panting on his heels.
Clay streaked his oily forehead and clung to the tips of his hair. They were in the lake bed, filling buckets with red clay. The shovel was in Kay's hands, and he was crouched at her feet, his hands red with dirt to the wrists.
So the water doesn't run out.
Yeah, he was frowning out over the empty lake bed.
But why does that matter? There's nothing out here.
The wooden shovel was hot in Kay's hands, her shoulders heaving with tired breaths.
The water can't run out.
A dam had no use if the water ran out. A dam was only good for keeping in water, and that was what she must do. Ensure the dam kept its use. They were one and the same, she and that dam, keeping each other to their use.
How much are you gonna pay me anyway?
The boy asked, reaching out to dig a trench in the clay with his finger. Kay stared at him, open-mouthed. There were only enough rolled bills in the can to pay for what she needed to survive so she could build the dam. But when the boy learned that, he was gone, streaking across the dirt and into the forest too fast for her eye to follow. She heaved up the bucket of clay and trudged toward the smoking kiln, spitting once onto the dry dirt. He was from the town anyway, that treacherous place that changed, that touched the rest of the world through that pale strip of road. They had never understood the dam. Kay woke from a dreamless sleep, straining for the noise that had woken her. Her heart surged in her chest. She rushed onto the porch, pulling on an old knit sweater, held her breath to listen. Beyond the chirp of waking birds, the rustle of the wind in the trees, came another sound, one that shouldn't be there. Forgetting her boots, she scrambled up ladders, thundered across scaffolding, searching the flat, passive face of the dam. Dark tears were scoring the dry bricks. Water had wormed in around a scaffolding brace. Hands numb with anxiety, with anger, Kay climbed down again. She hauled at the mixing stick to fill a bucket with cement, hooked the full bucket to a rope, and clambered up again to heave the bucket up. She trembled as she filled the gap, her fingerprints pressing soft dents in the cement. A small rain started, a gentle mist at first, but growing to a steady patter that rippled and stirred the river. Dark lines streaked the face of the dam where the raindrops ran down it, pooling at the bottom. The water burned Kay's eyes when she blinked, trickling in cold rivers down her neck. The rain had come to hide the water's treachery, to mask where it was slipping through, and she slathered the cement with her hands, reinforcing seams, strengthening the mortar. Bottom to top, and down again she searched the wall for leaks, the wet grit of the bricks rough beneath her palms. Gray clouds muted the sky, so the day was stuck in eternal twilight. Then she saw it, a crack in the mortar she had laid only 3 days ago. A thin trickle of water spat and frothed through it, washing away the fresh cement she tried to spread. She'd built herself into the dam, the days of her life piled up with the bricks, and she tried to stop the leak with her palms, holding the water in with body and will, crouching in the cold gray drizzle. The dam shuddered, groaning in its bowels. Beneath Kay's hands, a crack lanced down the brick face. With a sigh, the river elbowed through. Kay was tossed backward. Scaffolding snapped like broken kindling, and cold spray stung her face. She was falling, tumbling, lost in open air. Icy, frothing water caught her. She woke up to her waist in water, her sprawling arms embracing the earth. Aching, she sat up. Grit and mud blinded her, stinging beneath her eyelids, and she clenched her eyes shut. Water rustled around her. She reached for it, found it in her lap, and grabbed up handfuls to wash her face, spitting dirt from her teeth. The water had struck her and left her stinging. She would mix more cement, lay more bricks, push that pitiful trickle of water back again. Her vision was blurred, swimming and dipping, turning the world to whirling crystal. She blinked away the last of the dirt. The lake lay still and shimmering in its empty bed. A clean blue, the stirring of waves, the sweet smell of water, rustling like a nesting bird that had beat its wings and settled to roost. And Kay sat motionless, a rock in the mud, while the lake gurgled and laughed at her. Far away was a gray hump of rock, and the cliffs with the open crack between them. Bits of wood with rope tails, pieces of scaffolding were scattered around her, nudged to shore by the lapping waves. The cabin was gone. The work of her life turned to flotsam, washed away in moments. Kay stared. She hadn't known what a lake was, what a lake could be. Her father must have known before he built the dam and left it to dry up. But he'd never told her how it breathed and laughed, how it had danced and shone. He'd turned it to a restless, churning beast and left her with an empty shell as her doormat. Her stocking feet stuck out of the water. She was looking at herself again, a wet old woman sitting in the mud, and all that was in her hands ran through it like water. A voice called across the lake like a gull. People were on the shore, yelling, waving their hands. Someone was running along the water, calling her name. Trembling like a lost child, Kay lifted a hand in answer.
Today's episode was written and narrated by R.E. Rule. Sound design, music, mixing, and production by Frank Narat. Please consider becoming a patron of the show. For just $1 per month, you help maintain the show and you receive exclusive access to Tiny Tales soundtracks. Visit tinytalespodcast.com and click on membership for details. Thanks for listening.